because the title of Pastor Rick's sermon is just beggars. And what is so interesting is that Wednesday night, when I did the Bible study and filled in for Pastor Rick for that, do you remember the illustration I used Wednesday night? It said, what are we Christians? We're just one beggar telling another beggar where to find a piece of bread. So Pastor Rick says, well, the theme of the sermon, of your sermon, is going to be beggars. I go, well, we just talked about that Wednesday night. So it all weaves together. God is always weaving things, and it's so neat to be a part of his kingdom and his work, because he's in charge. He runs the show, not us, right? We think we do. That's a joke, you know. You tell me about your plans, I'll tell you about my plans. And they're much better and much wiser when we listen and we follow Jesus, right? So having said all that, let's look at the text. It says, now you, if you call yourself a Jew, if you rely on the law and boast in God, if you know his will and approve what is superior because you're instructed by the law. What Paul is getting at here is that there were two groups of people in the church at that time, and Pastor Rick mentioned that last Sunday. You have the Jewish Christians that were raised in the church, that knew everything. They knew the Word of God. They knew all the traditions. In fact, they added a lot of traditions to the church, and so they would come across many times as superior to other Christians. And so then you had the Gentile Christians that came out of a real pagan lifestyle, like some of you, drinking and raising you know what, and boy, just living, right, Daryl? Living the world, living it up, just living it up, but not really living it up, right? Dead, yeah, and what a life, right? But then Jesus grabbed you through CR or whatever, and he turned you around to find real life and real joy and real happiness, right? Amen is right. And so you found something, and so it's like one beggar telling another beggar where you found a piece of bread, the bread of life that sustains you. So you want to tell people about Jesus, and a lot of you do, right? Which is awesome. Because you know what you've experienced, and you want someone else to experience it too. And isn't it hard when they don't see it, and they're not as excited as you are, and you want to just shake up, just come on, just accept this. Testimony, yes. And we can, but God has to be behind that witnessing, and he has to be the one that tugs at the heart. And the time will come if we keep praying and believing, and this mic's driving me crazy, that's all right. I love it. We'll keep at trusting God and believing God that eventually the light will come on, like with your dad. Almost, what, 100 years? It was 100, that's right, it was 100. 100 years and 2 months. So don't give up, because we're all just beggars, right? But we had a little division in the house here that Paul is talking about, because some people thought what we've been preaching the last 2 weeks didn't apply to them. Like, oh yeah, those pagan people, they deserve to go to hell. Oh, the immoral lifestyle and all the wickedness. Remember that all that darkness I had to talk about 2 weeks ago, all the pagan lifestyle and all the junk in our world, disobedient to parents and ruthless and hateful and murders and violence and all this stuff. And the moralist goes, yep, that's them, all right. They deserve to go down there. Not me. And then the moralist, I'm a good person. I don't do those things. Ooh. And their Hegel slips and chokes them, right? Because it's their own self-righteousness. Does our self-righteousness or our good behavior save any of us? No. You're right. It doesn't. None of it. No. All have sinned and fall way short of the perfection of God is, of his glory, right? So we're all over here, and God's over there, and there needs to be a bridge, and we don't have, none of us, and cross all the way over to God and say, oh, here I am, God. I know you're waiting for me, because we can't make it. We need a Savior. And who is that Savior? He's the one and only. And his cross is the bridge between us, where we are and where he is. And Jesus is over here saying, come on down. Come on over. With his open arms to every single person who will receive him and believe that his sins are for her sins are forgiven and that God loves them and Jesus died for their sins and they can go to heaven. And the adventure truly begins then, right? And boy, what an adventure it is here to me, to Grace. And it is an amazing adventure. It really is. To stand back and watch what God did. The memorial service yesterday, we had one lady who, I don't think she'd heard the gospel her whole life. I was telling Daryl, the more I think about this, she came with tears in her eyes after the memorial service and said, I've never heard that. I've gone to Mass every Sunday. Never felt, never heard about how much God loves me. Tears pouring down her eyes. He says, can you bring this church to Scottsdale? And I said, well, we got people coming from all over the valley. Come on down. There's an empty chair for you, right? And that's what we're all about, is sharing that, because we're all just beggars. So Paul here is saying, now, don't brag on yourself. Don't look down on people just because you've been in the church all your life. I've told the story many times about going back to my parents' church, and I made the mistake of thinking that I was Amazing Grace when I wasn't, when I was an old, traditional church, and I forgot the rules, the house rules in that type of church, because I laughed out loud at the pastor's joke in the sermon. I made a mistake of laughing out loud. You can even smile in that church, but you can't laugh out loud. So I laughed out loud, And they know who I am. That's Carl's son. He's a pastor. Oh, but he's not Missouri Synod anymore. Oh, well, that explains it. Yeah, right, he's free. And then I got really excited. They had one hymn that I could sing along with. One hymn. And I kind of like got into it a little bit. I didn't go like this. I just went like this. The whole pew turned and looked at me. I just felt the stiffness and this rigidity and all these eyeballs looking at me, judging me. Oh, my goodness. But visitors will feel that in the churches they go into, right? Some of you have mentioned that. You go to a church, nobody greets you. Or if they do, you have to talk to the pastor before you take communion. What are you doing over there? Well, you don't dress very nice. And tattoos, we don't allow, but then you allow tattoos in our church, right? Amen. Amen. Or smokers, right? But it is amazing how the church sets up all these rules and regulations. Oh, you have to look a certain way, talk a certain way, the right theology. And it's just all these rituals, and oh my goodness, and Paul was dealing with that here, and these people thought they were going to go to heaven because of that. And they were parading like peacocks, you know, like they're all something. I've been baptized in this church, and my parents were charter members. And in my name, I have plaques over here, you might notice, that's my name. Because we donated money. It's like, come on. So it happened way back then. Paul had the same problem that, and thank God we don't have that problem here. Thank God. We're all level. We're all unified. And thanks be to God. Yes, love all people to Christ. We're all the same, right? Amen. And it's so great to be a pastor of a church like this, because whenever Pastor Rick and I go to and involve another church, we go, thank God for Amazing Grace. Amen. And seriously, Pastor Rick had a very, very tense meeting where he tried to help out a church, and they didn't want the help. And I'll let him talk about it, but the council and everything, oh my gosh. And so we all are very, very appreciative of you, because we're all sinners, right? And I was talking to Ricky, how he used to work at Grand Canyon, which is a Christian college, and now he's working at a very secular firm, and how it's so different, because there's not that many Christians. And they know he's a Christian, so they think he's going to be a certain way, like sort of uppity and self-righteous, and he's doing, you know, he's over here, and he's not approachable. And he said something very interesting last night. He says that when I was at Grand Canyon, we could pray together, we could be together and talk about the Lord. But he says, now, when I'm in this environment, the best way I can witness is just tell about my weaknesses and my failures and how I'm not perfect. So it takes him off the pedestal, down on the same level ground. I think that was a great idea that the Holy Spirit gave him. And now he's got his boss a little more open, and it's just opening that door a little more and a little more and a little more, turning that doorknob and let the Holy Spirit do it, and then the door comes open eventually. But I thought that was really good, because the world out there has a certain caricature, a picture of us, that we sit around and we don't laugh, we don't have any fun. Where are they wrong, right? No love, no joy. We just do a ritual, and then we get our card punched, and we go on to our life, and then we have fun out there, but not here. Boy, is that wrong? So the joy of the Lord is our strength, and we have so much joy. We rejoice in the Lord. We have love. We have peace and all these blessings. But if you're a self-righteous person, all bent on how you look and how you act, what you say, it takes all the joy away, because you're looking around, because you've always got somebody judging you, a critic, right? You've got a critic judging you. You feel like they got a scorecard and they're marking. You ever been around people that base their love on your achievement or performance? That's no love. I will love you as long as I will love you if, and as sweet as Isaiah is today, there'll be days, Mama, where maybe he won't be too happy with Isaiah. I know that's hard to imagine right now when he's looking at me like, yeah, buddy. But does your love stop? No, of course not. It continues all the time, and God's love continues with us. So having said all that, Paul had to take to task some people that thought the rest of the earlier part of Romans wasn't for them, that they were just all that, and they didn't need any help, and, well, here we go. So if we go to our sermon notes, now the Jewish Christians in Rome suffered from a spiritual superiority complex. They thought they were better than the, fill in the blank, the, ding, 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 yes, right answer, yes. All right, next, remember, we are all just beggars who have found the bread of life, Jesus. And we've all found that bread, tasted from Jesus, and are so satisfied and so happy that he fills our soul with spiritual food that gets us going with fuel for the next day and the next week. Amen? All right, so let's go on in our text for today. I wanted to read, let's see, where Pastor Rick goes here now with it. He says, if you're convinced that you are a guide for the blind, a light for those who are in the dark, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of little children. So they said we do all these things, which are good things. Those are all good things, but they did it with the wrong attitude, sort of a self-righteous attitude, like, here, I'm going to teach you what truth is. But the point is, these are good things, aren't they? If you look at that, a guide for the blind, the physically blind as well as spiritually blind, to show them how to see again, how to see for the first time, God's love, and see the world in a whole different way, and see other people in a whole different way, see their spouses in a whole different way, their job in a whole different way. Everything looks new to them when they have new eyes to see, right? And that's a job of people in the church as they lead people to see for the first time, to be a light to those who are in the dark. Sometimes people are totally in the dark spiritually, and they come to the light. They need someone to turn on the light for them. I remember going to a church, and I was going to be the guest speaker, and I came early, and they all came late. Kind of freaked me out. Like, okay, am I at the right church? Nobody's here. And so I followed in with the elder, and he was going to turn on the lights, except he walked away from me, and it's dark. It was an evening service, and or a Saturday morning early. I can't remember what. But anyway, the point is, I didn't know where there was a pew, where to stand. It was so dark, and I tripped right over a pew. That's not a good way to start as a pastor in a guest church. Is tripping over their pews. You know, they go, okay, this guy's a winner. He can't even walk straight. But I couldn't see. I could not see. So we need someone to show us, turn on the light. If he just said, oh, here's the light switch, which was right by me, it would have been easier. I wouldn't have tripped over the pews. So we need people to give us the light when we're in the darkness. Okay, what else here? We got an instructor of the foolish. Sometimes we don't know better. It's like, what's the matter with you? You know, But if someone's not been raised with good parents, or maybe they've been abused all their life and not been nurtured, received that nurturing, sometimes basic life skills, living skills, are not part of their life, part of their vocabulary, and they need someone to teach them and show them the way, right, of how to act and not be foolish, make foolish decisions, and think through financial decisions, think through vocational decisions, and not just go, oh, yeah, let's do this, and oh, yeah, let's go do that. No, think through it and how to have discernment and wisdom, which is really important. So instructor of the foolish, a teacher of little children. We all need, and God bless the workers here that help with the kids. I'm glad I didn't have to do that. I would not be good at that. We all have our gifts. Adriana and others are so good at teaching the little guys and gals and Isaiah and others about Jesus, that they can know about the Bible. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We never outgrow that. Those lessons we learned as little kids, right? So we need people doing that. So all these are good, but Paul is saying, okay, if you do all this because you have in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth, he says, okay, now, here it is. He says, you then who teach others, do you teach yourself? Well, we as pastors, we have to preach the sermon to ourselves first, not just a few people out there. You sinners. Guess what? I'm one too. Me is one. And so I have to preach this to myself. So if you teach others, do you teach yourself? Do you preach against stealing? Do you steal? We've all heard stories of pastors and church leaders kind of going over here and just kind of helping themselves and taking money. I mean, come on. Hello, thou shalt not steal. Which part of that commandment you didn't understand? And there's been embezzlement in churches of church officers and pastors. Come on. You think God doesn't know that? It's just sad what's going on in churches, right? Stealing in the name, in the church. So they were doing that. And you say that people should not commit adultery. Do you commit adultery? Do you whore idols? Do you rob temples? Well, the Jewish people finally learned a lesson that they should not be worshiping idols after they were lost their homeland, were exiled to Babylon. They go, okay, we can't do that. So then they went so far that they said, okay, we can't worship idols. So they changed the idol from a thing that was made to worshiping themselves. They look in the mirror and say, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? Me. And they started worshiping themselves and doing what they felt was right, which still happens today, right? So they were doing that. So they were robbing God in the sense that they became the God. They took God's place with themselves. You who boast the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? As it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Okay, back to our outline, because we have another fill in the blank here, I do believe. So, if we don't walk the walk as Christians, do we make only ourselves look bad, hypocritical? No. It reflects badly on Christians and ding, ding, perfect. Yes, that's the right answer, because it's not just the group here. It's all Christianity. We're trying to represent Jesus to people, and if we're not presenting him in a good way, they go, oh, there we go again. That's what I was saying about Christians. They're all a bunch of hypocrites. See, right there. There we go. And then the other thing is that it reflects badly on Jesus Christ. We're called Christians. That means a little Christ. So when they see you, they should see a miniature version of Jesus. A little Jesus walking around. Not with a beard and a robe. Like some people, you know, they dress up and that kind of thing. No, it's not dressing up like Jesus out in the streets. It's living like Jesus did, loving like Jesus loved, speaking like Jesus spoke, right? Oh, my goodness. And do we need people showing Jesus to others, right? Just by loving them and caring. Like, oh, there's something different about you. Like even letting them in traffic. People are shocked if I let them in. Like, really? You're going to let me in? Of course, I don't have much power in my car anyway. I'm just barely making it, but beside the point, that's beside the point. The point is, do you show Jesus love all through the week? Hopefully we do. There was one church, a big mega church. They would have conflict in the parking lot because the church members were so busy, so much in a hurry to leave the church, they're trying to get out first instead of letting another person go first. It was like right up in the parking lot, they had to have ushers watching out for people that were being mean and nasty and discourteous in their own parking lot. That's pretty bad. You can't even leave the church parking lot and already you're acting like a heathen person. How sad is that, right? So we don't want to reflect badly on Christianity or Jesus, do we? We really don't. And then next, friends, the world is watching us and looking for chinks in the armor where they can attack us in our faith. Treat all people with perfectamente. Yes, very good. With love and respect. To some people? All people. What if they're not real loving? What if they kind of smell? What if they look weird? What if they're so different than you? So, okay, very good. But we sometimes forget that, and so we need reminders that we love all people of Christ. It doesn't matter, right? Everybody, every single person. And thank God for doing that here. And may we continue to treat all people with love and respect. Be generous and helpful. I like what Pastor Rick said here. Have reminders in your home, car, school, and workplace of your faith. We need reminders in our cars, right? I know I do. Well, can you remember what I'm representing here? And Pastor Robin, you mentioned about your license plate. What were you saying? Okay, so that reminds you to say, okay, I got this personalized, religious, spiritual license plate. I can't drive the way, you know, maybe I would on my own. Got to remind myself. And Pastor Rick talked about he wears a cross not for others, but to remind himself of who he is representing. So we are called to do that and have reminders all through our life because we forget. The devil keeps trying to pull us away from God over and over, and we all need reminders. No. So we need those reminders. And we remind each other in CR and other places and other groups, and the Holy Spirit reminds us. He nudges us. Oh, Carol, no. Let's work on that here. Let's work on that, okay? Right? We were just talking about that. All right. Are we going to be Well, this one you may not guess, but I'll give you this answer, okay? Yes. You knew that. Are we going to be praised by people? I thought it came after we went through it. No. Or the blank was filled. See, one church, they have the blank, and then they put the word in after the pastor says it. We used to do that. I thought so. Shows how much I pay attention to that. I'm not preaching. Boy. Are we going to be praised by people for giving our hearts to Jesus? Is everybody going to be wildly in love with you because you're a Christian, you go to church? Not anymore. Maybe in old days, but not anymore. No, unfortunately. Okay, it's difficult for to be a Christian in our culture, and I believe it will get worse. Remember, we are beggars who have found the bread of life and tell others about Jesus. And what joy and peace we have when we have the circumcision of the heart by the Spirit and live in a relationship with Christ. There is nothing like it on earth. Amen to that. Let us pray and receive this circumcision of the heart today, or simply renew it and ask for more of the Spirit in our lives, and we will do that. So Paul was saying to the people, said, well, I am a Jew. I am circumcised. My family, my generation, all the generations have been in the church for years and years, and they'd hold on to that. Have you ever met somebody, they brag about their family, and say, we are from England. We go way back. Yes. I am a descendant of Martin Luther. I went into the Wittenberg Castle. I'm from the Holy Land of Minnesota, or whatever. Whatever, our church is 150 years old. On, and God goes, I don't care, right? I don't really care about all that. I'm not impressed by that. Right. Oh, that's another thing. Pastor Rick and I, when we go to conferences, sometimes in these big churches will be there and their pastors, and they say, so how many do you worship? How many people do you worship? Well, first of all, we don't worship the people. How many worship? One God, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That's a weird way to ask. How many people do you have in church? How many do you worship? But they're all about numbers, right? So, well, we have 2,000 people in our church. And I've noticed that some of those churches aren't even in existence. Here we are, a little Amazing Grace. We keep plugging away. And some of these churches are closed up that had 2,000 members not that many years ago. So it's not about numbers or how big a church or how fancy a car we drive. None of it matters. But, again, people in here that Paul's talking to thought that would give them an extra step on the ladder to heaven. Like they would be higher up. And Paul's just taking a hammer on that ladder and saying, he's knocking down those steps. So we're all on level ground under the cross. And then, when we realize that we are captive, that we have chains that bind us, that all these things of religiosity and other things and addictions and all that are binding us, then we realize that the real circumcision is of the heart, that we get a hard heart, and we don't care about people anymore or our marriage or about God. God breaks the heart. He breaks the heart. He softens the heart. How does he do it? Through the Holy Spirit, right? He says that here. So it's the whole Holy Spirit that changes us. It's not the written code. Like, Daryl, you shouldn't be doing that. I'm sorry, I'm picking on you a lot today, but we just talked right before. So, no, it's not like, well, you should do better. We know deep down. The law doesn't give you the power. It doesn't give me the power to do it. It's the gospel. It's God's love. It's the Holy Spirit. The freedom, the flow of the love, the power of God that changes our lives, right? And that's what's so awesome. And it's so difficult to get people to understand that. It's all about Jesus and the love and the light and the word of Jesus, the power of the Spirit, the presence of the Lord that changes people, not the written code. And he says, such a person's praise is not from other people, but from God. So the person has Jesus on the inside, Jesus changing them, the Holy Spirit inside, they just glow, right? They just glow, they shine, and you can see it in them. And like with Isaiah, I'll never forget that this morning. It was so cool. And we want to pray that we all be little Isaiahs, that we bear witness to the light of Jesus wherever we go. So again, we're just beggars. When we may not be standing on I-17, we'll work for food with a sign, but we're all in need. We're all broken. We're all poor. We all need God to fill us up, because it doesn't take a whole lot of things in life to remind us that we're not all that. That we're weak. That we need our health. Everything. It's just there one day and not the next. Just this week, I found out that my cousin died of a seizure back in Illinois. 5 minutes later, I found out my coworker and his wife were killed in an accident in California. Then a day later, my daughter-in-law, Crystal, Jeremy's wife, called and said she has to go to California that her grandfather died. Then the next day, Jeremy, my son, said that his coworker's mother passed away. This is all in about 3 days' time. And then I get a call from Pastor Rick saying, guess what, you're doing a memorial service. Somebody died, because I can't make it. Like, all that in about 3.5 days. And so it's a reminder that life is fleeting, right? That we're not guaranteed tomorrow. So make the most of today. And realize that it's all about God. It's all about Jesus, right? It's all about Him. And so let's thank Him right now. Lord God, we thank You so much. We thank You so much for Your amazing grace and Your forgiveness and how You are so faithful when we are not always so faithful. Lord, forgive us for the times we take You for granted, that we take life for granted, we take the next day for granted. We ask, Lord, that You pour out Your Holy Spirit and do not take Your Spirit away from us. Lord, we ask, continue to bless Isaiah. What a joy. And continue to be with him. And we ask that You continue to be with us, that You help us if we become a little too self-righteous and a little too cocky and arrogant and looking at ourselves, that You remind us it's about You, that we would look up to You and not inside ourselves or look down at others. Lord, in Your mercy. Lord, we ask that in the name of Jesus, You would fill us more and more with Your Holy Spirit, that as Pastor Rick mentioned in the outline, that let us pray and receive the circumcision of the heart today, or simply renew it, and ask for more of the Spirit in our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. Fill us to overflowing. Yes, Lord. Lord, we pray for so many of our kids or grandkids that struggle with painkillers, drugs, or alcohol. And we can't change them, only You can, Lord. Lord, we turn it over to You, Lord. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that You be with this sister in Christ, that You would give her Your peace, Lord. We just ask You to be with her daughters in the name of Jesus, Lord. We ask for a miracle in their lives and peace for this sister. Just be with her, Lord. Encourage her. Some of us know what that feels like, know what it's like, the heartbreak when our children go astray. But there is hope, Lord. There is hope, Lord, and You can change them. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.